This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station. And on this second day of January 2016, this is WSMI's Tim Mize and Dave Jenkins. And Happy New Year, gentlemen.
Happy New Year, T-Tote.
Still not used to that. I'm still not used to being 2016, obviously, two days in.
Get used to it.
Yeah, I know.
It's going to be around for another 360...
Three?
4 days.
Four, because this is leap year.
An extra shopping day till Christmas. You know? Only like 356 of those or whatever left. Get out there early now.
Yeah, that's right.
Take advantage
of those special buys.
That's right. I'm surprised there's not some sort of Black Friday event coming up here soon.
Oh, somewhere there probably is.
Oh, boy.
Litchfield girls head coach Rob Corso is a leap year baby. He was born on leap day.
I guess that makes it an interesting group of people, those that are born on, February 29th?
Yeah. Yeah. So he's actually like 17 years old or something like that? I don't know. Maybe not that. Maybe not even that.
I think you just insulted Coach Corso.
Now, see, does he celebrate his birthday then in a non-leap year on the 28th of February or the 1st of March?
I think he does on the 20th of February. I don't know. I think that's what he said.
If I was him, I'd go double birthday. Double it up. 28th and 1st every year.
It's a two-day event.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
You should ask him.
That's what I would do.
Of course, you'd do that anyway, though, Tim.
So true. You'd like double the fun.
You'd like to take 2 days for your birthday, you know?
I can't?
No, sorry, you can't.
I guess one will do.
One's going to have to do.
That's right.
One's going to have to do.
Well, another year in the books. It always goes so fast. But once again, we had a very good year of local high school athletes and junior high athletes that did some amazing things on the field.
Yeah, and as Dave says, it's hard to get used to 2016. But, boy, didn't 2015 pass quickly?
It did.
I don't know. And perhaps my perception's different the older I get, but my gosh, that year flew by.
Mm-hmm. It seemed to go really fast to me as well. Yeah. Hard to believe that it's done.
Yeah.
But it is.
And a year ago, we had, four junior high teams in basketball tournaments?
Mm-hmm.
And, two, I guess, in 2015 because the girls were in 2014.
That's right.
In
the
December
Hillsborough
of 2014.
Girls and the, Hillsborough boys and Gillespie boys.
Yeah.
So.
Two
and well.
Season wise, it was the season, but.
Right. But by calendar
year.
Calendar
wise, it wasn't. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Confusing as all get.
It really is.
A fiscal year type thing, you know.
Not that.
Are we
please.
On a fiscal year? Or are we on a school year?
It's a little more stable than the fiscal year.
Yeah. Well, at least in Illinois.
Barely.
Yeah. Do we still have fiscal years here? Not anymore.
So, of course, last week, we saw a fantastic conclusion to the Carlinville Holiday Basketball Tournament.
Yes, we did.
When the Litchfield girls completed a six-peat and the Gillespie boys went back-to-back. But it was one of those nights, Terry, and we were glad to have you there for the championship game.
It was good to be there.
By the way, that was just a fun night of basketball that really both of the games were outstanding to watch.
Yeah, they were. And it's not that anybody played bad. It's just that the teams that won played a lot better. And Litchfield, boy, what a juggernaut that team is on with having won six straight. That they tie a record that was set by Jerseyville. And, of course, earlier in the history of the tournament, Litchfield had already won five straight. So Litchfield has really dominated that Carlinville Holiday Basketball Tournament. And it seems like there's just no answer for the Purple Panthers at Carlinville.
Did we ever find out if they had actually lost a game during this run in that tournament? Because I know they had won six straight, but was there a year where they had...
Might have been a year where there was a pool play loss.
Pool play loss.
Although I think that used to be a bracketed tournament.
It has not been pool play as long as the boys has. Yeah,
that's right. The girls was bracketed.
I'm going to say that they have not.
Okay.
Yeah, girls were bracketed, I believe, and the boys were pool play.
Yeah,
so.
And when Jerseyville won their six titles, that was back in the 80s when the competition wasn't as tough as it is now. There was the haves and the have-nots in a more extreme way than there is now. We've talked about it before. Girls basketball has exploded and grown so much since that time.
Yeah, it was still a transition stage of where programs were getting started. And, I'm not even sure Litchfield was there, to be honest with you, at the tournament at that time. So, because Litchfield had some terrific teams there in the mid-80s. So, Jerseyville made their mark back there early on. And this was the 50th holiday tournament at Carlinville. So 50 years, wow.
50 more.
50 more, that's right.
Girls
that's
and right. boys? Have and they been going on for the same time?
No. It started out as a boys tournament, then they went to girls only, and then they've come back with a, which I think is really unique, with the girls and boys both playing at Christmas time, which is really neat. And then the championship night is really terrific. It's great to have the boys and girls championship games. And speaking of the championship game with the Gillespie Miners, my gosh.
You know, Terry, the more I've thought about it, the first half of that boys' championship game is about the best half of high school basketball I've seen in a long time. It was high level on both sides.
Yeah.
It was weird. Both teams airballed their first shot.
Yes.
And then after that, it was just buckets. Answer after answer. It was sensational.
You know, and Gillespie would pull out to about a 10-point lead. Litchfield would battle back. And it was a great first half of basketball. You're right. It was probably one of the best halves of basketball we've seen in a long time.
They were making shots, and you know, contested shots.
Yeah.
The defense was good. The shot making was just better. Every time Evan Price had a bucket, Josh Frankie had an answer. It was just so much fun to watch it. In the end, it was just too much Evan Price and too much Gillespie.
Oh yeah, and when Evan Price scores 38 points in a ball game, so yeah.
when he's playing like that, Gillespie's not going to lose many games.
He's healthy.
He's
healthy. See, there's the difference, because we saw him against Lincolnwood, and he was just coming back from that injury, that ankle injury. And when Evan's healthy, holy mackerel, this guy's a gunslinger.
this guy
can shoot the lights out. Yeah. And, you know, that makes Gillespie a very dangerous team for any opponent. So,
especially in what appears to be a wide-open boys end of the South Central Conference.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of theirs for the taking, because no team right now jumps out as a clear favorite for me.
And what makes Gillespie so tough is they're a matchup problem, because they don't really have size, but they can put five guys on the floor who can handle and shoot. And when you can't really help off of anybody, when you've got someone like Evan Price who can break anybody down, and if you come to help on him, he's kicking out to an open shooter, that's tough.
Well, you know, you've got the Price boys, but then you've got Eli Fox, then you've got Colin Tiemann. You know, these guys are hitting threes as well, and there's just too many weapons. It's tough to defend against.
It's like the Golden State Warriors right now. They're not the biggest lineup, but I mean, they're getting the job done in other ways. And like you said, five guys who can shoot the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, we see that style starting to become more, you know, common in basketball.
Basketball cycles.
It does. Mm-hmm. It used to be that way all the time.
It used to be that way all the time. Yeah.
Think back to, like, what, the 80s in the NBA, like, a low-scoring game was 130 to 125.
Sure. Until you get to the playoffs, and then you're in double digits instead of triple digits. But
there was a long period of basketball, maybe we're just getting out of it now, where it was so defensive-oriented where it was, like, first to 30 wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still, once in a while, you'll come across some of those games.
It happens.
Yeah, it does.
Or you might score 15 points in the first quarter.
Yeah. This is true. Or if you're like, what was it, East Alton that didn't score 10 points in a game? The girls?
Yeah, the Nokomis girls held Wood River to 9 points for the game, setting the tournament record. We saw some records fall at Cromville and some nearly fall. Nokomis sets the record for fewest points allowed. The record had been 10. They set it with 9. Give up 9 points.
9 points
in a 32-minute basketball game. Just absolutely incredible. That came against the Wood River girls. The Wood River boys finished last place in the tournament, didn't win a game, but Blake Marks nearly set the tournament scoring record, the four-game record, which is still held by Mike Tisdale. He needed 21 points to break the record in the final game, was held to just 2, so that record survived. And then Gillespie set the record for team threes, 4 games.
They obliterated the record.
Blew it up.
Yeah.
39 threes they made in 4 games. Think about that. Talk about records made to be broken.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Well, and Evan Price almost broke the single-game scoring record, too.
Indeed.
3 off.
For the tournament.
Which has stood since 1976.
3 would have tied and 4 would have broken it, yeah.
Well, and he didn't play the last minute and a half or something
last
like that?
Last minute or so. But think about that record. It withstood Mike Tisdale.
Yeah.
The single game record I'm talking about. It's been since 1976. 41 points, Terry Brookert of Bunker Hill, before the 3-point line.
Yes.
And it has withstood. There's been some good players that can light it up that have come through that tournament over the years.
There have been some terrific players come through that tournament.
And that record still stands. I think it's the longest standing record in that tournament.
It would have to be.
And that's a lot of points.
Yeah.
That's 40, a lot of points.
41 points. You know, there are teams that don't score 41 points.
Exactly
sometimes.
Right.
So. But to score 41 on a given night,
that's
a lot of shooting.
Yeah, and like an example with Mike Tisdale, though, how many games in that tournament was he out early because they were just up by so much? Or were they playing actually pretty?
No, there were some pretty competitive ball games when he was there. I mean, he consistently scored over 30. You score over 30 points in a high school game, that's a lot. That doesn't happen very frequently where a high school kid goes for over 30. That's an incredible feat. To go over 40, that's like scoring 50 in the NBA.
It's such a short game. It's only 32 minutes. You know, that's the thing. When you think 30 points, you're going, well, you have to average a point a minute. That's tough to do.
Yeah.
That's really tough to do.
When you put it that way, it sounds impossible.
Well, it really. And you know, and you've got to. And you're say on a great night, you're shooting 67% two out of every three. You know, you got to have quite a few shots to go down. You got to take quite a few shots just to have your have a chance to score that many.
Well, yeah, and that's like Gillespie in that championship game scored, 85 points as a team? You don't see that a lot in a regulation high school game around this area.
Absolutely not. You know, back in 1976, Coach Lofke beat it to Brookert.
Yeah.
Give it to Brookert. They're not stopping him.
That's right.
We're going to keep feeding him.
As long as they don't stop him, we're going to – and if they stop him, we'll figure out plan B.
Exactly right. Yeah. But as long as plan A is working, that's what we're going with.
You go with the hot hand, right?
That's what Bunker Hill did in 76 with Brooker. That's what Gillespie did with Evan Price in the championship game. And hats off to the Litchfield girls and the Gillespie boys for their holiday tournament championships. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to switch from high school basketball and start talking baseball. The I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic coming up later this month in Greenville. We're going to catch up with Joe Allstadt, the Greenville Athletic Director. We will do that following these messages on Sports Saturday. And the Illini, thank you, T-Tote, lost on what day was that when they played Michigan?
Thursday.
Wednesday. It was Wednesday when they opened Big Ten play. Okay. Lost at home to the Wolverines of Michigan. So they're off to an 0-1 start in the Big Ten, and we'll have them coming up at Ohio State.
Similar start to last year, where they had a lead against Michigan in the opener, blew it, let some players who had never done anything in college basketball ever, you know, score, have the greatest game of their life. So
it's been kind of a sad reality and trend for Illini basketball here the last several years, to where the unfortunately predictable Big Ten season, to where they'll get off to a bad start, kind of be strong in the middle, and then kind of
That Khalid Lewis, who was out with the mumps. So
of course,
adding to their injury.
And why wouldn't he
problems.
Be? Yeah. Just one of those years for the Illini, and some of them are like that no matter the sport, where you just got to chalk it up to injuries. Now, we saw the Cardinals this past year had a similar situation where they were just devastated and decimated by the injuries. They somehow overcame it, still won 100 ball games. But normally when you have a year where injuries just take over like the Illini are in right now, it's going to be a long year.
We'll have Joe Allstadt about 9:45.
Perfect.
So, talk about the I-70 baseball clinic.
Yeah. That thing is huge.
It's expanded to 2 days this year.
That's beautiful. And, I mean, you get the who's who of Major League Baseball
the year before was Rick Carpenter?
And that's winter warm-up weekend, right?
I'm not sure the exact date, but it's about. It's all coming up here in this month. Yeah. January is a busy month for baseball, believe it or not. Yeah. Spring training is just, 6 weeks away?
Yeah.
I tell you what, we're January 2nd, and there's still some, four pretty big bats on the free agent market available.
All right. You mentioned Rick Carpenter. That was a couple years ago. We had him on the sports show when he was talking at the clinic. Leo Mazzoni was there.
Yeah. He's going to be there this year.
He's an entertaining dude.
Yeah. They had over 300 coaches from six different states last year, and they had such a demand that they doubled it to 2 days. So
good thing it wasn't this last week, and they had I-70 closed because of the flooding Greenville,
kidding.
I'm pretty sure.
No kidding, I tell you. Wow. But they seem to have picked the right weekend or the right day in January. So
that's when you know you're doing something right, when they've asked you to expand
it's baseball. You're talking baseball in January. That's right. You know, that's great.
It just warms you up.
It does. And they have so many professionals who come in and help area coaches and even players with techniques and so we'll let Joe talk more about that.
But he knows more about it than we do.
Yeah, but he's, you know, that's quite a setup there.
It is.
At Greenville High School.
David, you mentioned four big bats still available. I got a feeling the Cardinals are done. I don't think they're going to go out and get a bat. I think they got Leak. I think they're happy with the rotation. I think they're more than confident with Piscotty playing right and the combination of an Adams and Moss platoon at first. You could put Piscotty at first when you need to give, you know, get Pham out in the outfield. So, I mean, I don't personally think they're going to spend any sort of substantial amount of money on a bat that would be an everyday player.
It's going to depend on what the market has for us, because obviously it seems that prices have got to be dropping because, you know, Hayward got his money and the pitchers got their money, and all of a sudden, you know,
the money's dried up.
Yeah, it was like,
where did it all go?
Yeah, it was like, everybody, okay, what's Cespedes going to sign for? What's Gordon going to sign for? Well, now teams are backing off. Like, okay, these guys aren't necessarily worth it. So, like, I heard someone say, I think it was the White Sox said they're only going to offer Alex Gordon a 3-year deal. They're not going to give him a fourth year if they offer a deal at all. So, obviously, the prices are going down, so that's when the Cardinals may get back into it, is whenever the deal is just too good to pass up.
The thing about the Cardinals and John Mozeliak is you figure, okay, they're done, they're not going to do anything, and then Mozeliak pulls off a trade or
that's
finds
thing,
somebody,
yeah.
You know? And this happens every darn year. Yeah. Every year, we're lulled into this sense of, well, if Cardinals are done, mm-hmm. they're not, you know, they sign Leak and... okay, everything's taken care of. They're going to go with who they have. Well, it's probably not going to happen that way.
You're exactly right. Yeah, I don't think they'll get a free agent, but a trade would not surprise
me.
You're exactly right.
Yeah, I would say that the likelihood of a trade is about 85%.
They have talked with the Colorado Rockies, not necessarily about Carlos Gonzalez, because that trade asking price might be a little bit too expensive. But there's talks about maybe acquiring a Charlie Blackman or I think Chris Dickerson is his name. Dickerson's last name. I don't remember his first name. Solid outfielders to have had a good last couple of seasons. Of course, you got to be skeptical, though, is that the Coors Field inflation playing an effect there. I think an intriguing free agent option they should at least look at is Denard Span. And I say, obviously, he's not going to be a middle-of-the-lineup bat, but if you get Denard Span, you have someone who plays center field, you slide Grichuk over to right and play Piscotty at first, plus... Carpenter doesn't have to be the leadoff guy, and you can have that 28 home runs, maybe add some more RBIs onto that, and you can have him, hey, this whole offseason, you're going to be focused, or the rest of this offseason, you're going to be focused on hitting lower in the order.
Well, I got no problem with that at all. I hope that they sent Carpenter into the offseason with the mindset you're not going to be the leadoff guy. And this is me just kind of being... wise and smart, but you know, it's kind of what I do. But they should bat Matt Adams leadoff and bat Matt Carpenter fourth, because I mean, if you think about it, they've got a leadoff guy in Carpenter who hits 30 home runs and strikes out 200 times, and they've got a big lumbering first baseman that they want to be dropping down bunts to beat the shift. Yeah. It's completely convoluted and backwards.
Yeah. I'm still shocked that Matt Adams is with the Cardinals.
Oh, they love some Matt. They love them some. Yeah. Some Matt Adams. Well, actually, I almost called him Matt Adams. That
wouldn't
have been very nice.
If that's his name has been brought up in this Rockies trade rumors, if they were to acquire Blackman or Dickerson, that he would be involved in that trade. Yeah. So he would go to Colorado, which that would be a great move for him.
At some point, you're no longer a prospect. Matt Adams is no longer a prospect.
Yeah.
You know, and if there was
he
one
needs
negative,
everyday numbers.
He does.
And he's not putting up everyday.
He's never played a full
season.
There's
one negative thing you could say about the Cardinals over the years. When they draft a guy, they stick with the initial narrative of he is the guy.
Yeah.
Matt Adams, he hit one hanging curveball off of Clayton Kershaw. That's what he's done. Other than that, he's been endlessly disappointing. Ground ball to second. Ground ball to second. Hit the ball in the air.
Well,
please hit the ball in the air.
He saved them in 2013 during the stretch run when Craig went down. He had a really good September whenever Craig went down. And
was he hitting the ball in the air?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, he was.
Yes.
Because he hit a home run at Miller Park, a night where I think they had blown the lead. Hit home run in the ninth inning with one arm, mind you, because that was right after the elbow thing came out. And
that's my
brace.
That's my whole thing with Matt Adams. Hit the ball in the air.
Yeah.
Smash it. They need power hitters. They don't, you know, a big lumbering lefty, they don't tell David Ortiz, hey, go the other way.
Yeah.
Beat the shift. Hit it through the shift. Hit it in the air and hit it out of the park.
I think that was also the same season he hit two extra hitting home runs in Cincinnati in the same night.
Yeah. The problem with Matt Adams, he has too many balls on the ground.
Yeah.
And apparently the Cardinals are more than happy to have him hit the ball. The
Cardinals do tend to ground into a lot of double plays.
They do. And you know what was interesting? They said Hayward this last year had the highest ground ball rate of his career. But hey, the hitting coach is back. So as long as we keep that line moving along, hit them ground balls.
Yeah.
Four hits to score one run. I don't see a problem here. We'll be fine.
Station to station.
Station to station. But they keep winning. At the end of the day, they're going to win 90-plus ball games. They're going to be right there for the division. They're probably going to be in the playoffs.
We're scratching our heads going, how in the heck did these guys do this? You know, because the bullpen's worn out. The starting pitching's worn out. Yeah. You know, they're limping along because they've got so many injuries. And
they find a way.
They do.
They're just too unselfish at times. Because it's like, okay, you want the next guy to get the RBI. Get the RBI yourself.
Hey, you got to find something to complain about when you're a sports fan. Like the Cardinal fan spends a lot of time complaining about the 25th guy on the roster. It's the last guy on the bench. This is the big concern.
Yeah. You know, it's 162 games. It's a six-month season every day. So, yeah, there's a lot to talk about with baseball. So.
We've been to the playoffs five straight years. That's just not good enough.
It's unacceptable.
What are they doing? There's only one World Series title out of that.
That's right. They're bums. They've only won the World Series once since 2011. We need a break. We're back in a moment. The first day of the year, so college football takes center stage on New Year's Day, and not real entertaining.
It was the lowest. I heard the playoff was not good ratings.
Well, that was New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve.
Right.
The semifinals for the college football playoffs.
Those weren't very good games either.
Those weren't not great games either. But, yeah, they were down dramatically as far as the ratings are concerned. Yeah.
What do you expect when you put it on New Year's Eve? What did you think was going to happen?
Well, yeah.
Well, and that's the other bad part
You would think with as much money that the NCAA has and as much power as they wield, they would say, okay, these two semifinals are going to be on New Year's Day.
You would think, but here's the problem. As powerful and as much money as they have, they don't have as much money and power as the Rose Bowl committee.
Yes. Yeah.
And apparently that was the sticky point to where the Rose Bowl, we're going to be on New Year's Day.
That's right.
Like we always
are. And we're not going to be part of this playoff thing because we're the Rose Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah.
So money talks always. Yes. Money and power.
Well, they were the semi last year. The Rose Bowl was.
Yeah, they're part of the playoff, but the years they're not part of the playoff, they're not going to play the playoff game. They're not going to agree to have their game at a different time in the years.
They're
going to
play on
playoff.
New Year's Day.
Yeah, they've got the exclusive rights, whatever it is. Like, was it 3 o'clock our time when that game starts?
Three
or 4 o'clock, whatever it is. They've got an exclusive window. There could be no other
The reason they call
game.
It the granddaddy of all That's bowl right. games, you
I,
know?
To me, I'm not the biggest college football guy, but I like the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
I like the Rose Bowl because of that. Keith Jackson, the granddaddy of them all. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, most of the time it's 5 degrees and snowy here. And, like, the pictures from Southern California.
Green grass.
It looks so nice.
Palm trees.
Right. I want to
people
be there.
In shirt sleeves. You know.
Sunshine.
People wearing jackets when it's 75 degrees.
They have no idea. It's like when you're in Minnesota in the summer and it's 85 and it's a heat wave.
Yeah. Hmm. It's perfect.
Beautiful.
85 is great.
Love it.
90's even better.
Yeah. Had a nice summer here this year.
Yeah.
They
60 and rainy, not so nice in July.
No.
They should have just made the Rose Bowl the championship game every year. That should be your championship game because it's the most popular game anyway.
Yeah,
it's
but then the other big money bowls, they would have a problem.
But see, the problem is Rose Bowl is not in prime time.
Yep. That's right.
It's not in prime time because they've got that guaranteed afternoon start because they don't want to go deep into prime time where they lose people.
Mm-hmm.
They've really picked a good time. To have the Rose Bowl.
It's perfect.
Yeah,
it's like they thought about it.
Yeah, they put some thought into this thing. So,
I tell you, one other thing
a lot of sports fans don't realize is the maneuvering that goes on behind the scenes for start times of sporting events. It's absolutely crazy. And we deal with it all the time here with the Cardinals, with the Fighting Illini, and it's just absolutely crazy to see the number of game time changes.
And a lot of the ways, we still get drug along because of the TV.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about TV.
It's all about
whatever
TV.
The television says,
that's
when the game will start.
Yeah.
Yeah. One other thing that's probably hurting them, that the downside to adding the playoff is, obviously, the other bowl games didn't matter before, but now they don't matter even more.
Yeah.
It's like, well, there's a playoff now. Why do I want to watch any other bowl game?
I think we talked about it last week. They're finally getting exposed for all these bowl games just being unwatchable and terrible when they got the 5-7 teams going in. No one's watching that.
Yeah.
And
too much of a good thing.
Yes.
As a Buckeyes fan, I didn't care about the Fiesta Bowl this year. I didn't care that they played in. I didn't care that they missed the playoffs. I was like, I don't care what they get now.
I flipped it on the other day, and it was the Battle Frog Fiesta Bowl.
What's
Battle Frog?
What
happened to Tostitos, the beautiful crunchy tortilla chip?
I don't know.
Yeah.
He said those great commercials with that guy. Can't remember his name now. Goofy comedian.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
That was
kind of
bald.
Yeah.
That kind of had like
I know who
the
you're
horseshoe
about.
Like baldness with the blonde hair. Couldn't tell you his name, but he was funny in those commercials, like in 1992. Mm. But I have no idea what Battle Frog is.
I don't either.
Is that a game? Is that a game?
I don't know.
You learn about a lot of new businesses whenever you watch the college football, or at least pay attention to the college football bowl games.
I mean, you could have a game to where you could just make up random things and then just dump a few of the actual bowls in and try to differentiate which was the real bowl and which was just totally made up. And it would be hard to do.
The longer the name, the more insignificant the bowl is.
Like, so true.
Like the San Diego Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl.
It's a big time game.
Yeah, it's like the kickoff. That's like the first bowl of the season, and it's like okay.
Which is still just a week removed from the regular season, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And eventually, this playoff will be probably 8 teams, and you've got
But blowout games like this are not going to help proponents of an 8 team playoff.
Very, very true.
You've got 1 and 2 just shellacking 3 and 4.
Exactly right. The problem, though, with these bowl games, a lot of them have always been one-sided because there's such a gap between when they've played their last regular season game or conference championship game to the bowl game. They've got this beautiful window between Thanksgiving and Christmas where you could be playing big-time college football games after, you know, give them a week or two off, a bye week, going into the quote-unquote postseason, get rid of all the other bowl games, have this massive playoff system to where you've got the best teams that people want to see. And for the other smaller teams, sorry for your luck. You should have been better.
Yeah.
You should have been better.
And that'll actually even out the games too. You might not see as many big blowouts because you don't have Nick Saban had a month to prepare for Michigan State. It's a lot of time to prepare for one team.
Back the season up. If you want them this time of year, back the season up.
You could do that too.
Yeah.
But you've got a month. An empty, open month right there for you to where you could be playing football games.
Well, that gives them time to sell tickets.
This is true.
Yeah, because they would have real trouble selling those tickets.
Yeah.
They just wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah, well.
Some of those tickets
this thing called the internet has kind of changed that.
A little bit. But as Uncle Ralph would have said, M-O-N-E-Y.
There you go.
Always rules the roost. And eventually, they already know it, that there's more money to be made. That's why it'll be an 8-team playoff.
Yeah.
But the 4-team was how they got it started. And,
sure.
But eventually, it'll be 8.
Well, and probably within 2 years.
Probably. Five power conference champions and 3 wild cards.
As long as the NCAA tournament never winds up any bigger than it already is. You know, they've talked about going to 96.
I remember when they talked about that.
I
was intrigued.
I'm not intrigued at
all. I was intrigued.
If I have to print my bracket front and back, I'm out. That's it for me.
Yeah.
I have to do that.
There's enough teams in it right now.
It's perfect.
Yes. Just leave it alone. If it's not broken, don't fix it.
Boom. So leave it be.
Leave it alone.
We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more in a moment.
Saturday rolls on once again. Tim Mize and Dave Jenkins, fellas.
Thank you, T-Toad. Yes, we got the big Tax Slayer Bowl today.
Yes.
The famed Tax Slayer Bowl. It's, you know, Cotton Bowl Classic, Rose Bowl, Tax Slayer Bowl. It's Penn State and Georgia. How is Penn State playing? Like, how are these bowl games after the New Year's Day Bowl? Shouldn't the New Year's Day Bowls be the last bowls and then the championship game?
You would think so.
Why is Kansas State and Arkansas on my television today at 3:20 in the Liberty Bowl at Memphis, Tennessee? Why? Get them out.
I have no idea.
The Alamo Bowl, that one might be okay. I've actually heard of that one at San Antonio. Oregon and TCU.
The Liberty Bowl I've heard of before.
You've heard of the Liberty Bowl?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, in Memphis. Yeah.
The Humanitarian Bowl was always one that I knew because it was like the one – it was before the playoff, it was the one that was after all the New Year's Day Bowls. It was the last of the these teams don't matter bowls.
There was a story about it was Steve Spurrier when he was at Florida. They said he used to always needle Peyton Manning in the University of Tennessee because Tennessee could never beat Florida. They never did while Peyton Manning was there. And they always wound up in the Citrus Bowl. And Steve Spurrier always said, you can't spell citrus without UT.
Yeah.
Old Steve Spurrier.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Then you got the Cactus Bowl, West Virginia.
Spurrier will be playing at the Comedy Club tonight.
You know that. Yeah. The old ball coach. Yeah.
Gosh, where is the Cactus Bowl being played?
Phoenix, David.
Phoenix, is it?
In the desert.
Would have never thought of that.
The TCU quarterback, we talked about this a little bit off air, got himself suspended. He's a senior. Got himself suspended for a bar fight in which he wound up punching a cop in the face. And that's how his collegiate career comes to a close.
It's not good.
Oops.
Can't do that.
I bet there won't be a pro career behind that, is there?
I wouldn't think so.
Not as a quarterback.
Yeah.
Not in this day and age, you know. Yeah. There used to be a time where athletes did used to get away with whatever they wanted, so to speak, you know.
Times have changed.
Not anymore. The tide has turned on that. Like, in a lot of ways, you're at a disadvantage now. Like, people always got their camera phones out recording everything you do, and you're not going to get away with anything.
It's like Johnny Manziel can't catch a break because he's constantly getting busted for going out for parties. And it's like, just leave the guy alone.
He does a lot of it to himself, but you're exactly right. Like, I can understand why. It's like, can't the man just go out and hang out with his friends without having someone record his every action?
No kidding.
He's not the president.
Yeah. That's true.
You know, if the governor can leave the country for 2 weeks and tell no one where he's going, I think Johnny Manziel should be able to go out to a club and enjoy himself.
Yeah, he's also really not hurting anyone or himself right now yet. So.
Well, yeah, he's only hurting himself.
Yeah.
Let me change the subject here to high school basketball again real quick, because coming up a week from today, it's going to be the 25th anniversary celebration of the Southwestern High School girls basketball team that finished third in the state back in 1991. They're going to be hosting Westland High School. The JV game starts at 2. Varsity game will follow. And then there'll be a reception at the high school cafeteria at about 4:30, somewhere in that vicinity. So the 91 team finished 28-3, finished third in the state. And I remember covering those gals. It's quite a basketball team.
Quite a basketball program.
A basketball program, yes. Merv Kruthus was the head coach. Gary Boker was the assistant coach on that team.
Isn't Jason Isringhausen going to be there to speak about something?
I don't know.
I thought this month he was going to be down at Southwestern to speak at something.
Oh, not necessarily for that event.
Yeah, it might not be for this event, but I think he's going to be there to speak for something.
Yeah.
Southwestern girls got a big win over the weekend. Beat Calhoun in the championship game of the Jerseyville Holiday Classic. Calhoun had beaten Southwestern at single digits earlier in the year. And Southwestern, they seem like they are on a bit of a mission this year. Maddie Greeley and crew are seniors now.
And they're healthy.
They weren't healthy last year. We know what happened to them in their sophomore year. And they just seem like they have a point to make this year. And they're making it pretty darn well.
Kind of a juggernaut kind of thing going on here, you know, with Southwestern. Yeah.
And it was on Wednesday that they played.
Oh, yeah. See, I'm all messed up. Like, I thought yesterday was Saturday. I'm lucky I even showed up for work today.
You know, when the year ends and their month ends in the middle of the week, it messes you up. And then you've got back-to-back, you know, holidays and two consecutive weeks. It just, the year end is just really messy.
And a lot of times when a high school athlete starts as a freshman, it seems like they're there forever, at least to me. You know, like, they're just like, man, they're still there. But for Maddie Greeley, it's the exact opposite. To me, it's like she's already a senior.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like she just got there last year.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, has had an outstanding career.
Star from day one.
Day one. Started as a freshman and has played every game. So,
she's basically played every minute. I would be curious to know her minute total out of possible minutes for her high school career. I bet she's played almost
every single minute.
That is possible. She's always on the floor.
She is just
and she rarely fouls, so I don't know if she's probably fouled out of a handful of games her whole career.
Tell you. Yeah, she's the real deal.
Yes.
Good ball player. Fun to watch.
You can't ask for much more out of a high school ball player than what Maddie Greeley has given over the years.
She has really done. And, you know, compliments the rest of the team so well. That's the great thing about it. It's not just a one-man show. She compliments everybody else, makes everybody else better. And they make her better.
Well-oiled machine,
yeah.
And have been for quite some time.
Yeah.
A lot of fun to watch. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, it'll be Joe Allstott talking about the I-70 Baseball Clinic. We will do that following these messages. Back on Sports Saturday, we'll be talking with Joe Allstott, the AD at Greenville High School, and we'll be talking about the I-70 Baseball Clinic. We'll do that in just moments here on WSMI FM 106. Collegiate basketball today, top 25. Michigan State still number one in the country. They will not be after today. They lost earlier this week, but they will be at Minnesota 3 o'clock today. Kansas second ranked. They will play number 23 Baylor this afternoon. That's a 4 o'clock tip. Third-ranked Oklahoma. They will take on 11th-ranked Iowa State at 7 o'clock this evening. Fourth-ranked Maryland. Big Ten Maryland plays at Northwestern at 8. And then 5th-ranked Virginia takes on Notre Dame at 5. And that's some top 5 college basketball on this Saturday. Happy to be joined now on the phone by Joe Allstott. He is the Greenville Athletic Director. And in a lot of ways, I guess, a spokesman for the I-70 Baseball Clinic. Joe, is it safe to say that you are in charge of the event, or at least the spokesman for the event?
Well, I'm the one who gets suckered into the interviews, Tim, I think. it's our baseball program. All our coaches work together on it. And, we've been doing it together since 2003, so I'm the guy who's doing the phone calls today.
Joe, we're so happy to have you on Sports Saturday. You do so much for Greenville throughout the year in your duties as AD, but, of course, you're involved. I think, is pitching coach one of your official titles on the baseball squad in the spring?
Yeah, I've been our pitching coach here since 2000, so this will be 16 years, I guess. So, yeah, we've had a lot of pitchers come and go here, and really enjoy the time being able to work with them.
You've had a great baseball program at Greenville for a number of years, so in a lot of ways, very fitting that you guys put on this type of clinic, and it's amazing how this event has grown over the years.
It really has, and you know, if I was to pinpoint something, I would say we had Tony La Russa here in 2006 to speak, and he decided to come back in 2009. So having him come back a second time really gave us credibility with other big-name speakers that we're able to contact. And, you know, when we can tell them that Tony La Russa has been here twice, it kind of opens their eyes. Well, yeah, these guys might be okay. They may be all right. Maybe I'll go do this for them. So we don't pay our speakers a crazy amount of money, but they're able to come here and really drop a lot of knowledge on coaches and attendance. And we've got this year, and like you say, we keep growing. Last year we had coaches here from six different states, and already this year I've got them registered from seven different states. So I'm far away as Oklahoma and Chattanooga, Tennessee, and everywhere in between pretty much. So it really has grown, and our speaker lineups keep getting better every year, and that's the reason people go to clinics. They go to hear the speakers. So we try to get the best speakers we can to come here.
And who do you have on the docket this year, Joe?
Well, this year, our headline speaker is Leo Mazzoni, and the former Braves pitching coach, who was the pitching coach under the best years they had in the 90s of Maddox and Glavine and Smoltz and Steve Avery and those guys. But Leo is going to be here Sunday night, January 17th, and he's going to speak for 2.5 hours, and he's going to talk about mechanics. He's going to talk about his pitching philosophy. He's going to talk about how to throw pitches, the proper grips, and how to teach them, and building a pitching staff. We're just going to turn him loose, Tim, for 2.5 hours, and he's a very good speaker. Right now he does pregame and postgame for the Atlanta Braves, so obviously he is well-versed in communication, and he can talk, and he's going to really do a great job. On Monday, which is Martin Luther King Day, we have three awesome guys lined up. Probably the most recognizable name to our group here is Rick Eckstein. Rick is the hitting coach of the University of Kentucky. Obviously, David Eckstein is his brother. Rick was a big league hitting coach for 5 years, I believe, with the Washington Nationals. So he's been big league dugout for many years and just a great hitting instructor. Pat McMahon is another speaker of ours who right now is with the Yankees, but he has been the head coach at Mississippi State. He's been the head coach at University of Florida. He travels to clinics all over the country speaking and does a great job. We're very excited to bring him in. And also Jack Leggett, who might be the best one of the whole bunch. He was the former head coach at Clemson, and he's there 30 years. He's an ABCA Hall of Famer. But I've heard him speak twice at the national convention, and this guy has more energy on that stage than anybody I've ever seen. I mean, he is very, very good, and we've been trying to get him here for 10 years, and lucky enough that we're able to get him here this year. So we think we bring four speakers in that are as good as any you'll hear. And like I said, this clinic is for coaches of all levels, whether you just coach 8U, 10U, whatever, high school, college, or anything in between. This clinic has something to offer you and be able to take back to your kids, and it really gives a good value.
Joe Alstott joining us here on Sports Saturday. Joe, the AD at Greenville High School. They will be hosting the I-70 Baseball Clinic coming up January 17th and 18th. And, Joe, I was thinking we were talking about Tony La Russa coming back for that second time. He's mm-hmm. a baseball junkie type of guy, and I imagine that this event, it really does kind of feed right into the baseball junkie, and there's a lot of us out there.
Oh, absolutely. It's very good. We've even had people attend here that don't even coach. They're just baseball fans, and they wanted to hear some of these guys, especially when La Russa was here, Mike Matheny, and those guys were here. The really big names that people on their couch recognize, you know, they wanted to come and just hear them talk. You know, they hear their post-game interviews, and obviously they bring a lot of baseball knowledge to the table, and just a regular baseball fan. We've had plenty of those come, and it just take in the whole day. You know, it's a pretty cheap day considering everything you get, and pretty excited to put this on right here 20 minutes from you guys.
Joe, give us the details on how to sign up, what the registration fee and that sort of thing is.
Sure. This is the first year, fellas, that we've been able to have people register online. You can actually go to our website, which is i70clinic.com, i70clinic.com, and you can click there to register online. And you don't have to mail anything in. You can do it in just a few minutes. The fee is a $50 fee. You can bring your whole coaching staff for $175. So that includes the sessions on Sunday, the sessions on Monday. We give you breakfast Monday, a catered lunch on Monday. We give out probably 150-plus door prizes that are donated from across the country, and you can get in our Twitter to see all those. I've taken pictures of them, put them on there. But very, very good stuff, books, videos, facts, et cetera. So we think there's great value there. You're going to hear, 8, 10 different speaker sessions, and there's clinics like this that are in the big cities for $150, $200, plus you spend $150 on a hotel room, and you can come here for $50 and hear just as good, if not better, speakers. So we're pretty excited about that.
And Joe, what is some of the feedback that you get from like some of the high school coaches that attend this event? I would imagine the wealth of information is just amazing.
Well, yeah, we always have questionnaires that are passed out, and we usually get really good feedback. Usually if people don't like it, they just don't come back. But our retention has been really good. Last year we had 320 coaches sign up, so like I said, from 6 different states. This year I think we'll get that, if not more. So our retention is good. Coaches really like the speakers, and sometimes it's guys they've never heard of, but, you know, doing this 13 years, we've built up a little bit of trust in them that we're going to bring guys in that are really good speakers and they're going to learn a lot from. So I think we've built some equity there from those that come back every year. And we have several people that have been to all 13 of our clinics. So pretty excited about that. And I know several coaches from our area are coming. I know Bob Allen's bringing the staff to Hillsboro, and Litchfield's been here several times in the past, and et cetera, et cetera. It's not just for local people, though. Like I said, we have 7 different states, which is kind of mind-boggling to think about. When we started this, Tim and Terry, we never thought we'd have coaches here from 7 states, from Oklahoma or Chattanooga, Tennessee, or whatever. Never dreamed that was going to be possible, but here we are.
But it's baseball, and it's very popular. Joe, are most of the coaches high school coaches, or do you get a big influx of coaches who take care of the summer leagues?
That's a great question, Terry. Generally, our population are high school coaches, but the last 2 years especially, we've had more and more of the travel teams and the youth coaches, 8U, 10U, 11U, whatever, that are coming. We have college coaches here every year. We've even had some minor league coaches and managers be here on occasion. So this depends on who the speakers are, but it's continually grown, especially with youth. But the main thing, when people ask me, the main thing I say is it doesn't matter what level you coach, you're going to be able to pick up several things here to take back to your kids and your program and hopefully make them better, which is the whole purpose of the whole clinic. So I think that's a good goal, a reasonable goal, and that's what happens every year.
And Joe, again, if people would like to attend the clinic coming up January 17th and 18th, what's the best way to do it?
You can register online, i70clinic.com. You can also see a copy of our brochure online, and you can see the schedule and the structure of the clinic and how it works. You can also follow us on Twitter at i70clinic, i70clinic, and we have all kinds of information on there and updates on there and things like that. But our website gives you all the information. My contact info is on there. Our past speakers are on there. Like I said, the brochure, all the sponsors, and I want to give a shout out real quick to the St. Louis Cardinals. This is the second year they've been our cover sponsor, which is very, very rare for a Major League Baseball team to sponsor a small little high school coaches clinic like we do. You know, but they've done that for 2 years now, and we've got hopefully a pretty good partnership with them, and it's allowed us to bring in some better speakers as well. So we're thankful for them.
They wouldn't do it unless they found some value in it, Joe. Trust me.
Absolutely. No, you're right. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
And Joe, I believe I saw a tweet go out from Greenville earlier that the Comet baseball team will be playing at Busch Stadium April 30th. Is that correct?
That is correct. This will be, I think it's our 5th or 6th year in a row we've played there, and obviously, we try to do things that our kids are going to remember forever, and this is obviously one of them. We have to sell quite a few tickets for that, but you know, we sell the tickets at about half price, and we happen to get a Saturday this year, which is really good. And I think it's a bobblehead day, so hopefully that'll help us sell our tickets. And we'll play in Knox County, Missouri, which is we've never heard of them, let alone played them. So I think it's a school a little our pretty much our size in Missouri that we're going to play after the Cardinal National game that day. So if anybody wants tickets that are be fairly reasonable, have them contact me at school.
Awesome. And I guess the one thing you don't want on that day is rain and extra innings from the Cardinals.
Well, we've had both in the past. One year we got rained out. As soon as the Cardinal game was over, the rain came. And once they put the tarp on, they're not going to take it off for us. But we got to go back over later and play. I think we were playing Highland that year. But we got canceled that day. But, yeah, when you're down underneath the stadium getting dressed, the last thing you want is extra innings as well. You're ready to get out there and get on the field. But it's a great experience. I can't say enough about it for our kids and even for our coaches, man. It's a blast. You're in the dugout and the bullpens and the Cardinals with a visiting dugout on a big league field. That doesn't happen every day. We're pretty lucky to be able to do that. We're thankful for all those that buy tickets from us.
Well, Joe, it won't be long, and we'll have Comets baseball on the radio. So we're pretty excited about that, although we got to get through the basketball season first. So
that's right. We're lucky to have you guys out to hopefully do quite a few games this spring.
And, Joe, of course, on that note, the Greenville family lost a member in Kent Kessner a few weeks ago, and I know that he was very involved with Greenville Athletics.
Oh, man, he was tremendous, and Tim, you probably knew him just professionally especially, but he was very good at what he did. He was our WGEL broadcaster here for 31 years, I think is what we figured it out at, and football, boys and girls basketball, boys baseball and softball games on occasion. But, I mean, he did well over 1,000 games on our airwaves. And, you know, he brought the Comets into the living rooms of Bozeman Bond County. It's kind of what we've been saying. And how lucky we were to have him and just a treasure and a jewel that he was for our community and our kids being able to have their games on the radio. That doesn't happen every day. We were pretty fortunate to have a radio station in town that would cover us on a daily basis. And it was a huge loss for us, for sure. Kent was very good at what he did, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And a good friend of ours, yes.
Absolutely, yeah. He's a great man. Very good man.
Yeah.
Joe Allstout, the Greenville Athletic Director, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time to come on and talk about the I-70 Baseball Clinic coming up January 17th and 18th, and Happy New Year, sir.
Gentlemen, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. Take care.
All right, Joe Allstout, the AD, and he's one of the best ADs around. He is sensational at what he does.
Yeah, we're so blessed about having some great ADs and throughout the listening area. But Joe's one of the good ones. Yep,
Exactly right. Holiday tournaments are behind us. The new year is in front of us, and we know what that means. Regional basketball right around the corner, and before we know it, it'll be balls and strike time.
Yes.
He's seen some pretty good pitching in his days.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. One of the best baseball programs around, and he mentioned it, Bob Allen, topper baseball coach coming up in the spring. I called him Baseball Bobby the other day.
Baseball Bobby.
Baseball Bobby. I don't know if he liked it or not.
The Swiss
if he didn't, Bob, I apologize.
We'll find out, won't we?
the Swiss Army knife of Hillsborough High School.
He really is. That he does it all.
Yeah.
Does it all. We are out of time here on Sports Saturday. For T-Tote, David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsborough, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on. Happy New Year, everyone.